This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Use the Hijab10 discount code for 10% discount on a wide range of products, including premium Ethiopian black seed products.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you guys doing? It's me, Muhammad Hijab. Muhammad the learned one, Hijab. Muhammad the nerd buster, Hijab. It's joining me is the man.
The machine.
The dawah machine. The marriage documentary fraudulent one. Ali Dawah.
Assalamu alaikum, how you doing?
How you doing? We haven't done this kind of collaboration for some time.
Yeah, I've tried to, you know, distance myself from, you know, because the Prophet ﷺ said, you know, bad friends are like, you know, a blacksmith, you know, so. No, joking. Yeah, man, it's been a long time, alhamdulillah. We've been chilling out, man. I think it's been more relaxed. Well, like, sometimes you get fed up of just filming, so we just chilled out. But you know, sometimes when important topics come, and when it pertains to the family unit, which is already under attack, I think it's important for us to, you know, jump head first, you know, because it's an important topic, and this is something that in the next couple of months we're going to be going straight into as well, because, you know, we've got the whole LGBTQT, we've got gender roles that we're going to be talking about as well, inshallah. So I think it's a serious topic, and I think we've had enough break chilling out, and I think it's time to get back to business.
I've not been chilling out at all. I've been doing hard work. So this is what we wanted to comment on today, inshallah, is this YouTube channel which I've been made aware of called Honest Tea Talks. And actually, we welcome it. A lot of brothers we've spoken to in different parts of the world are very much against this kind of thing where women come out and they bring their own perspective and they speak on behalf of other women that have maybe they've been in communication with. You know, they come out and they attack. They're very triggered just at the idea of women coming and speaking on a public platform.
Yeah.
From our kind of interactions with people in the West, etc., all the different countries we've been to, all different universities. Don't you think it's in the maslaha, the common interest of the Muslim community, to have women actually speak independently in the way that these women are doing?
Of course, man. It's important, man. You know, these very people who come and this whole notion of, you know, they shouldn't be there, they shouldn't talk, etc. You know, and then it's the same people where they're, when their daughter falls in the shubha, look, they might not listen to us. Maybe they want to listen to a sister. They go through other dilemmas in life, what they go through, maybe they want to listen to a co-sister because they can relate to. Do you get it? Most of the times, if you see, I've incorporated, when I'm doing a reaction video or certain topics that are pertaining to sisters, I get a sister on board because I don't know what they go through. So it's important for us to incorporate this. But people who are living in a box don't realize that when their kids go through this and you limit them to a certain point, some of them end up leaving the deen because of this attitude. You know, so we appreciate and value sisters like theirself, you know, Honesty Talk. It's good. But also we need to also keep each other in check. That's right. You know, this the same goes with me to you, you to me.
Especially me to you.
Yeah. we have to because if we don't keep each other in check, you know, then we're going to go astray. Like, you know, the people in the past have gone astray. It's important. And this is what this deen upholds, in joining good and forbidding evil. It's fundamental.
The believing men and the believing women.
Yes.
Both of them are allies to one another.
Exactly.
Before we get to some points of correction that we want to kind of address in this video and constructive criticism, quite frankly, on some of the content that we've witnessed, we want to say that actually one of the most controversial videos that they've made in terms of public controversy has been one that basically they were coming out and talking about women's sexual rights, like intimate rights and stuff. It got a lot of views. A lot of people were very upset at the fact that women were saying, like, you know, there's an issue in the community where men are not sexually pleasing women, basically. Like they have a laissez-faire attitude, or you know, a non-existent drive when it comes to women's sexuality and stuff like that. I personally didn't find that much controversy in that message at all. Do you see there's a problem with that?
I mean, if we have a problem with that, then we should have a problem with the Ansari woman who came to the Prophet, you know, and Aisha and her said, you know, may Allah have mercy on the Ansari woman. You know, when it comes to these matters, they're upfront, you know, and obviously there's an uslub and adab about how you address it. And I don't believe they cross those limits. From what I remember, maybe there might have been one occasion something was said, I can't remember. But other than that, bro, it's...
Who are we to talk about modesty, brother? We're the worst ones.
And also for those that have an issue, like brothers, like, why are you even watching that?
No, I mean, to be fair, they didn't even go into X-rated stuff. They didn't go into... I mean, there's more to be said by way of discussion and things that men should give women sexually and women vice versa. Like you can go more into detail, but we won't be doing that today. Maybe that's another video for another day.
Yeah.
What we will be doing today, inshallah, though, is we're looking at some of the things that have been happening in this, or some things that have been said. And let me be straightforward and say, there are some things which are missing in the content. And I'll tell you what I think the number one thing which is missing in this kind of content is reference to the religion, direct reference.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so for example, you know, I've watched a few of the episodes now, right?
Yeah.
Divorce is one of them. Divorce is a very complicated topic. Yes, very complicated and a very dangerous. It's a live wire.
Yes.
And I personally believe that if we wanted to speak about divorce, we'd have to do extensive shura with people like scholars and stuff like that, and vet it and stuff like that. Because if you give wrong advice when it comes to divorce, it can literally ruin lives.
It's dangerous, but I'll be honest with you. I don't think there would be a point where we could ever talk about divorce. Look, when I go to Sheikh Haytham and people of knowledge like that, bro, when we go to him and ask about, you know, there's this brother who's going through this, the first thing he says to me is, bring that brother to me.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you bring his wife to me. Exactly. He's not going to come and say, Ali, go tell the brother, divorce.
Yeah, yeah.
Never. Well, wallahi, one thing that you see with them,
let's start with
never
this.
Happens.
I want to react to the first part of this. Which,
yeah, go on. We can elaborate.
All right, let's see.
They're both good people. They have fallen out of love, or something has happened that's just created a massive wedge. They've tried, they've done all that they can to improve the marriage, and it's just not happening. And yet they have a level of care and love, maybe not in love, but a level of care and love for each other. Is divorce the right option in that case?
It's a personal choice, but it sounds like yes. Like that's a rare model, I think. A lot of times when you see a marriage coming to the point where people are thinking about divorce, it's a hostile environment. And it's not usually amicable, and everybody's mature and they process their emotions.
I see difference. Yeah.
Many of the cases I know of, I see people, maybe you're looking at it from the loveless marriage perspective, like they've grown to this point. But when I see divorce coming up, it's usually in a hostile setting. It's in a chaotic, hostile setting. Like things have erupted and now divorce looks like, let's just end this.
I see both. I'm encountering both. Yeah, I'm encountering sisters who are just empty. Their husbands are good men, but they're just empty and they crave connection. And they're just—they're really just running on empty. I don't know how long they can continue like this for. So it's for them. I think sometimes that's a deeper predicament, because he's not abusing me. You know, he's actually good to me. But it's—I'm potentially choosing by staying. I'm potentially choosing a completely loveless and sometimes even sexless marriage.
Yes, brother. So can you see here, when he asked the Somali sister, sorry, I don't know her name, when he asked the Somali sister, she said, it's a personal choice, but yes, Now, for me, that's too nonchalant, and it's, quite frankly, it's damaging, it's dangerous. It's
too ambiguous as well. What do you mean by, like divorce in what, because you need to understand something, these issues are deep issues, and it's and these issues get a lot of views, because a lot of people are going through it.
Yeah.
It's like Islam Q&A, saying, for example, somebody messages, I'm going through this with my okay, in this situation, argument, he says, maybe it might be best to divorce. I doubt they would ever say that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the awam, the general mass, and writing, I'm having a problem, shall I divorce? And that comes up. And they're like,
this applies.
And then they apply it to themselves. That's dangerous.
Yeah, yeah.
That fatwa is specific to a specific individual.
Yep.
Like, I think it was Abdullah bin Abbas, somebody came to him and said, if I kill someone, would I be forgiven?
Mm.
And he said, you'll never be forgiven. And then another person came, same question. He said, will I be forgiven? He said, you'll be forgiven.
Mm.
And, the people around him...
What you're saying is that for each individual, there's specific...
Because the reason is, they asked him, I said, why did you say to one he won't be forgiven and to the other you would? He said, the first one I saw, he's about to kill.
Mm.
And the second one had already killed. He's looking for mercy.
Mm.
So do you see how they differentiated between giving their ruling to two separate individuals?
Mm. Well, the famous examples were the Prophet about kissing the older man in Ramadan, and the younger man, he allowed it. The point of the matter is, it's divorce should not be spoken. Is it okay to divorce? It's not okay. First of all, we have to appreciate something. There's different models of divorce.
Yes.
Like, a woman, what can she do is different to what a man can do.
Yes.
I know that it's such a very straightforward thing to say, but that's not fleshed out in this video.
Yeah.
What a woman can do is khula, she can do fasah. Okay, she can ask the man for khula. Yeah, so the man gives it, he grants it to her. And what khula is different to talaq, according to some is actually the same. Mm. All of these are very important details, isn't it? How does khula differentiate from a talaq, if it is in fact the opinion you follow? What has to happen, etc. The point is, if you give women or people the ammunition to just go, actually women in this case, yeah, to their husbands and say, I want a divorce because I'm not in love with you no more.
Mm.
You could actually be pushing them to do a major sin, because that might not be a valid reasoning. Now, there's a difference between repugnance or kurh, because when the woman came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith in Bukhari, when she says, "Lawla makhifatillah labazaqtu fi wajhi," that if it wasn't for the fear of Allah, I would have spat in his face. And فَفَرَّقَ بَيْنَهُمَا, and then he divorced between them. This is repugnance. This is not, it's not the same as not having the love that they're talking about, whatever that may mean, by the way. And that's a sliding scale.
Mm.
So if someone is put, like, disgusted by their husband, okay, that's a different kettle of fish to someone who is falling out of love, or the same passion isn't there.
What about if the man is not having intimacy with
her? No, that's a good point, because she mentioned that at the end.
Because I believe she conflated
No. The first question was different to the second, because in the second part of what she said was it could be a sexless marriage, but that sexless marriage could be coming from the woman because she don't want to have sex with the man. Or I'm assuming that's what she means. But if she means that the man is not giving her sex,
no, the man's not giving her.
That's a separate issue of inquiry. But
even then, bro, do you not think they're confusing two things here, which is dangerous? Because first she said what? Look, this is very important, bro.
Yeah,
he's a good guy.
Yeah,
he doesn't abuse me.
Imagine his kids.
No. One second. That sounds like a good guy to me.
Yeah.
But and she's keep talking about a woman being empty. Empty on what? What are you trying? Because what do you mean by that? Like, I'm asking the sister, because then you added no sex. Let's take the no sex out of the picture, because there might be a young sister watching this video and be like, no, he does have intimacy with me. He's actually a good guy. He's everything you just said.
But I don't feel it. I'm just feel
empty.
Him. Yeah.
You've just given them an advice of divorce.
Yeah.
You've basically said you're empty. You shouldn't be feeling empty. How do you define as empty?
No. They need to be careful with this.
This is very dangerous.
No, this is, like, extreme. No, to me personally, and this is something, like, with all due respect, if that's what they're saying publicly, I'm worried to know what they would be saying privately. If people are coming to that, because you have no right, let me just make this very clear.
Yeah.
You have no right to advise any woman of divorce unless you've heard two sides of the story and you are qualified to be able to make such a judgment. Yeah. I don't have a right, and you don't have a right to do that. If the case is simple and straightforward, where the man is, you know, he's putting her through this and that. Her life is on the line. That's different. We're not talking about this.
Yes.
We're talking about very ambiguous cases right now. You have no right to advise any woman at any point when you have not heard two sides of this. That's why in qada, it matters to do with judgment. They'll bring both, if they know what they're doing, they'll bring both parties in and they'll hear both sides.
Yes.
They have to do that.
You have to.
And they have to know what the situation with the kids is, because you could be breaking homes. You think you're making things better, but you're not. You're making things worse.
Exactly.
You are making things worse. And then that will be on your scales on the day of judgment.
Exactly. We need to be very careful, man. We need to be very careful. I speak to Sheikh Haytham, and Sheikh Haytham says, look, sometimes sisters come and they're crying. Mm. We're human beings. When we see an individual crying, we sympathize.
That's right.
But until we go, sometimes, and I'm not just saying this only happens with sister side. Sometimes it's the men. But he goes, once we come and speak to the husband, it's a whole different, like, bro,
it's a completely different story.
It's like green color, and it's like totally the total opposite.
That's right.
And they're like, whoa, come on.
I want to move on to the next video, because there's more things going. Sorry.
There's more
issues here with some of the content. But what the content is missing, as I say, is Quran and Sunnah. Like, you can go through the whole video.
Yeah.
And once again, we're constructively criticizing, and with all due respect, no chivalry effect is going to stop us from doing it, because you deserve the peer review that we all get.
Yeah.
And this is peer review. You got to think of it like that. And if these peer review systems were not in place, the Muslim ummah would be would have a bad service.
Exactly. We get peer
review. At the end of the day, yeah, of course we do. So we get by everyone.
We get public and private.
Yeah, exactly. So this is, just consider this constructive criticism. We're not saying, and just to be clear again, that therefore let's cancel them, therefore they don't know what they're talking about, therefore they're ignorant.
We're saying
that you're doing a good job, mashallah.
Yeah.
But just on these points, please bear in mind that you need to change some of the parlance. Here's what I would say. Let's summarize each thing as we go along, First thing, when it comes to divorce, when it comes to issues to do with qada or judgment, keep out of it. keep out of it, unless and only unless you have someone who is extremely well qualified. She, a woman, let's say, if you want to keep it all women, that's fine.
Yeah.
But she's extremely, she's a well-known talibat al-ilm or sheikha or something. You bring her and she speaks with the authority that she has. But if you just lay people speaking about divorce and issues that can break families, this will do more harm than good. Second thing here is this. I was watching thing gender roles in the community. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I watched this particular video for another purpose. Obviously, our remit is a dawah remit. We have a completely different remit to them. Yeah. Their remit is more pastoral.
Mm.
So they're dealing with women's issues and these kind of things. But there is a significant intersection, right?
Mm.
So there are things which we do and they do which intersect.
Yeah.
And this is one of them. So this is one of the things that she said, gender roles in the community. So we're talking about gender roles between men and women. I can't let the, obviously, you can't watch the whole thing. I can't watch the whole thing.
Mm.
But let me tell you one thing that was not mentioned in the entire video. Mm. The entire video, Qawama was not mentioned. Ta'a was not mentioned, which is the male responsibility or the ability for him to have one degree that he's a maintainer, the protector, the hierarchical superiority that a man has over or a husband have over a wife. That's not mentioned. That is the elephant in the room. That's what makes a traditionalist complementarian system of marriage different from an egalitarian system. So if you're going to do a video of gender roles, you have to define what the gender roles are in the first place. Yeah, we haven't even defined what gender roles are. And worse yet, quite frankly, you start to mix liberal ideas with Islamic ideas. Let's listen to what we're talking about. Yeah.
And if you think about it, subhanAllah, when you look at different couples, Allah pairs someone with who they need. So you have a strong, powerful woman who's active, who's maybe running a business, who has a career. The man is more mellow. When you have a man that is out there, yeah, he's in the dawah, he's working, he's busy. You've got a woman who is
holding down the fort.
Who's holding
she's talking
down
the fort. Listen. Yes. She's talking about you. I mean, that was her second name quite often. No, anyways, let's get to the point.
You can see, they use my surname.
the strong, powerful woman. Once again, you have to look at the language, yeah? The strong, powerful woman that's running her own business, all these kinds of things that she's doing. Why is strong and powerful correlated with capitalistic success?
Yeah, exactly.
In this whole video,
seldomly
do they mention exactly what the traditional roles are. There is no clear definition of it. And in fact, I don't think they've ever mentioned, and someone can correct me if I'm wrong, concepts of ta'a, concepts of qawama. They've cleanly mentioned it, clearly delineated it. What is it? It's the equivalent of men not telling men, other men, what their responsibilities are in Islam.
Yes.
If you want to help women in the community, you need to tell them what their responsibilities are. Actually telling them only what their rights are will arm them to make their homes more hostile places, because they're now stocked up with all these things about, okay, what we need to get, what's for me.
I have to be a career woman, I have to do this, I have to do that. Where are these coming from? Yeah. No one's saying Muslim women can't work, but the terminologies you're using are very similar to what the liberals talk about day in, day out. What we're saying is that these are dangerous, because we know the study done over 20 years, over 100,000 women. Are women more happier?
No, they're not.
He's
talking about Blanche Flower and Oswald, the 100,000 people that
were. How long did they do this study for?
20 years,
20 years, 100,000 women. We're not talking 100, 1,000, 100,000 women. And women are less and less happier. And we'll put the link to the on the description.
Less happier after the second wave of feminism, after all the implementations of it. The point is that we need to be clear that there is, in fact, there are gender roles in Islam. And those gender roles do mean that the men ideally will be, I'm not saying always.
And what is wrong with that?
The breadwinners.
No, but what is wrong with that?
Let's define it.
Bro, the studies show it. Jordan Peterson has, one of the reasons he's blown up is because he states this fact. He talks about, for example, when women who are working in the, you know, in these, it'll be whatever sectors it might be, that they, when it comes to their 30s, 40s, they're leaving their jobs. They're leaving their jobs because they're realizing that they're putting in 60, 70 hours work, and they're looking at their life and there's nothing to account for. You are preparing yourself to a lonely death. You've reached the age of 30 to 40. You're a career woman who's got a lot of money in their bank, and you've got no man that wants to marry you. And let's talk about biologically. Can you have children? No. So the thing is, why are we propagating a failed system where studies show that women are less happier?
It's true, it's true.
It's dangerous.
And I'm not saying that they're fully propagating it, but you got to be clear about what the Islamic ideal is.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to do a whole video about gender roles and not mention one Quranic verse or one hadith or one qawl of any alim, and then at the end of it refer to women that start their own business and do well in the workplace or are public figures, whatever it may be, as strong... An implication that could be taken from that is, or the inference that can be taken from that, at least in the subtext of that speech, is that strong women are those women that the liberals are defining, not, or the liberal feminists are defining.
Exactly.
You know, put it this way. If you watch that whole gender video that they made, it's not incompatible with feminism. It's not incompatible with feminism. I don't think, like, a second wave feminist will look at it and probably not disagree with most of what is being said.
Yeah.
If they're liberal enough to different cultures, they won't disagree with most of what is said. In order for us to really know, once again, if we want Islamic solutions for Muslim problems, we have to bring the Quran and the Sunnah.
Exactly.
Simple as that, really. Yeah. If you want to give Islamic solutions for Muslim problems, bring the Quran and the Sunnah. Tell them of the ayat and the ahadith and the aqwal of the ulama. Otherwise, it's, to be honest with you, it will be just opinion.
Forget this, a super powerful career. Forget that, okay, why don't our sisters that are doing this honesty talk, and it's honesty talk, meaning they're being honest about it, they should be grilling brothers and saying, you sisters, you go tell your husbands, you're the maintainer and the protector of the house, go out and work. Empower them by that. Why do they do that?
They might be doing that.
No, they should. Not. Yeah. I haven't seen a video of them incorporating that, bro. They should incorporate that and talk to sisters and tell them, you tell your husband, you're the maintainer and protector. I accept that. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated. Go out and work.
You might find segments of them saying that. Remember,
I hope.
Let's see this bit here. This is, you were talking about dying alone and living, as we don't want to sound like Kevin Bloody Samuels.
No, but it's true.
But this is one thing that I was watching, how to find a husband. So listen to this bit. I found it quite unusual, to be honest. This is quite unusual.
Really build upon their confidence and to know exactly what they will and won't accept, and to journey through the looking stage with Allah, knowing that Allah will give them what they need and what they deserve. When, you know, divorced women are not second class citizens just because they were divorced. I mean, if you look at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how many of the Sahabiyya were divorcees, widows? And the Sahaba rushed to marry them, subhanAllah. So
even really, the Prophet wasallam.
And the Prophet wasallam himself, yes. So it's so, so important that I think for divorced sisters, that they come to a brother who's already married, who's looking for a second wife. Why is it the assumption that because you're divorced, that necessarily your preference is polygamy? I mean, it may be for some women, it may not be, but it's almost as though I see, and you know, I don't know if you see this too, that for divorced sisters, there's a narrative that's kind of shoved down their throats that, okay, because you're divorced, you need to lower your standards. You need to accept anyone that's going to take you because you have kids, because who's going to marry a sister with four children?
And you should be grateful that anyone wants to marry you.
Right. And I am totally against this. I am totally against this. I think it's really, really important.
Bear in mind, so polygyny is an institution in Islam. They know it. They've done a video on it, which was a biased video, which itself requires discussion. But we don't have time for it today, But basically, that video they done in it was just prioritizing the trauma of the first wife, not putting the second wife in the equation at all, almost her trauma, or the kids. Maybe the kids are there, or even the yani. It was a biased video, and in fact, they should title that video "The Dysfunctionalities of Polygyny and Implementation," not polygamy as they have, Okay. But put that to the side. This video here that they've done. This maqta here, or this little bit, this little video bit here, where she was saying that someone who's divorced should not accept the fact that, you know, and it's true, right? We don't say that she should lower her standards or think that she's less.
I agree.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah. But listen to what she says thereafter,
Okay.
So she says that...
I agree with what she said so far.
So do I, but this is what I found quite ironic.
Of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how many of the Sahabiyyat were divorcees, widows, And the Sahaba rushed to marry them. SubhanAllah. So
isn't really the Prophet Ali Salatu
Wasalam? Yeah, but you see, what do you think I'm going to say here? So she said in the first instance that you shouldn't, if there's a woman who's a divorcee, she shouldn't just accept polygyny, right?
Yeah.
And then she mentioned the example of Sahabiyat and the Prophet's wives.
Yeah.
What do you think the disparity here is in these two examples?
You tell me, you said it before.
Okay. The disparity in these two examples is those women who were divorcees married in polygynous marriages.
Okay, oh, one second.
They didn't
consider
it beneath themselves to marry in polygynous marriages.
So, let me get it. So they were divorced women who got into polygamy.
That's what I'm saying. If you're mentioning the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as an example, he had 9 wives at one time.
Yeah.
So these women were divorcees, yes, but they were also getting in polygynous marriages.
Okay, but there are companions who did marry divorced women without being in polygamy.
Who? Very, very unlikely, to be honest. Mm-hmm. They might have had Raqiyah, they might have had the Milki Amin and stuff. That was the exception.
Let's talk about the Sahaba's mentality. Are you telling me none of the Sahabas would have wanted to marry for example, that Sahaba who came. The one the Prophet ﷺ said, why did you not marry a virgin? He said, I married a divorcee who has kids because.
We don't know that's the only wife he's got.
No.
And we don't know if don't know that he didn't. Remember that time you had.
But what I'm trying to say is.
Possession of the right hand and stuff.
Okay, no problem. But let's be real. Did the Sahaba have the mentality of, I will not marry a divorcee because she's a divorcee?
No, we agree with that.
Okay, but that's what they're trying to say.
No, I understand it. But what I'm saying is, it's not lowering your standard necessarily.
No, 100%, I agree.
If a divorcee, now she's got 4 kids, or the example they gave, or 5 or 6 or whatever it may be, for her to realize that is.
Yeah.
Okay, that is going to be an inconvenience for a lot of men. That is going to be an inconvenience.
So what you're saying? That's the reality. So
that is the reality. We're not saying that's how it should be.
Thank you.
But we should make another thing clear, which is that he has no responsibility over them. The father and she does have responsibility over. He has no responsibility. He doesn't need to give them money or anything. So the point of the matter is,
he can have his goodwill, but it's not his responsibility.
If the advice that's being given is not going to help.
Yes.
Let's just be honest about it.
Yeah.
Polygyny is there for a reason.
Yeah.
It is there to make sure that women who are unmarried, who may be divorcees and cannot find husbands and have been looking for 5 years, 10 years, whatever it may be, can be absorbed back into the marriage market.
Yeah.
If they take this kind of advice, the reality is they may die alone.
it's not productive. I think what the issue here is this year, look. When I was looking to get married, there was a sister I was getting to know for marriage who had kids, and I wasn't thinking about polygamy. I was like,
liar.
I wasn't thinking about polygamy. Yeah. In my head, I was like, if this is the right person to me, I said to myself, okay, maximum, I could marry a divorcee with 2 kids. That was maximum. 3, I personally wouldn't. The point I'm trying to make here, why are they equating
and a woman can have such a preference as well? She can say, I don't want to marry a man with kids.
Thank you.
What's the problem?
The point is this, why is it seen as degrading that a divorced sister gets into a polygamy? I don't understand this because
to be fair, they didn't say that.
No, it does come across like that. She goes, I'm totally against that. Unless she's talking about that they are seen as second-class citizens. I doubt they are, because if a man is willing to marry you, he's not making you a side chick or a girlfriend or a mistress.
Yeah.
If he's willing to marry you and you're a divorcee, okay, no problem. He's not saying, I'm going to marry you. Maybe for the sake of Allah, maybe he can marry someone younger, but he's like, look, I want to marry a sister with kids. Maybe because the society that we live in, sadly, see them as low-value women, like these red people, whoever they talk as, and because of that, I want to marry them. What is wrong with that?
Mm.
Why do you feel degraded? Why is this notion of, look, you go to the Mormons, it's just something you got to admire about them. They're in polygamy. And what do they call each other? It's not a co-wife. That's my co-sister. They say co-sister.
Yeah.
Which Muslim sister will come today and say, that's my co-sister?
Go to sub-Saharan Africa. Do you know, we're talking in the Western context. But do you know where there are some places in the world where the culture of polygamy is much more acceptable and women are much more agreeable to it? For example, people correct me if I'm wrong, but sub-Saharan Africa, Nigeria, Nigeria, go to Indonesia, Malaysia. Apparently in Indonesia, Malaysia, we've been told anyway, that people are much more open to, you know what I'm talking about, Malaysia. But here's a segment. Okay, so we've talked about that. So just to summarize this point, the idea really is about, polygyny is there for a reason.
Of course.
It helps with the marriage market.
Of course.
I don't want
And every
don't get advice that's unproductive.
Okay, one second. Yeah, wallahi, polygamy is a solution. Yeah, it is a solution. I don't care. Wallahi, I'll take it off by Allah. If they said to me, "We will hang you," and say polygamy, I'll say, "Which where do you want to hang me? Yeah, go. I'll go hang myself. No, actually, that'll be suicide." The point is this: yeah, polygamy is a solution, because what you need to understand is polygamy is not exclusive to Muslim men. Men practice polygamy in the wrong ways. Allah has stipulated to be done in the right way. So co-wives, be you a divorcee or no divorcee, with kids or no kids, you have your rights protected. Okay, yes, so it's been legislated so things can be done in the right way. I know many sisters would message me when I first came to Islam and I started my YouTube channel. I was doing a reality show, yeah? Bro, trust me, I used to get messages from sisters who are on the verge of falling into zina because they are looked down upon. They are single mothers who have kids. Nobody want to marry them. They go onto these apps.
That's right.
All these men, wallahi, they'll say to me, I go into this app, once they find that I'm a divorcee with kids, they start flirting with me, they start talking to me in a certain way. When a man comes and he wants to marry you, why are you degrading that man? Why are you making it unacceptable? Please, the point is this here, yeah? Once again, I want to emphasize, your videos are good. Wallahi, it's needed. All we're just trying to say is there's certain things that you're seeing that have great consequences. Because don't think it's words that you utter. There are people that are watching and thinking, actually, right, or this, that, actually, let me divorce, actually, let me do this. They're making life-changing decisions, you know? So what we're just trying to say, sisters, is when you say something, look, because you said you watched a lot, all of the videos, and they don't mention Quran and Sunnah, yeah?
But like then, 5 or 6 episodes.
Well, okay, well, then to me, it might be that you're talking from experience, yeah? And I'm not talking about the specific issue of divorce. I'm not talking about that. So you need
now
to understand.
Now, some of them are divorced. They make it clear.
Okay,
they
but what I'm saying is that if you bring your experiences to the table, it's not necessarily wrong, but what you may have gone through or what you have suffered, or what you are still suffering that you may have not been over, can cause harm. Because what you're doing is you, and I'm not pointing at any of these sisters. What I'm saying is it might be something we all have gone through stuff in our life.
Mm-hmm.
If I come and give if somebody comes to ask me for advice and I say, oh, do this because I'm in a mental state of something that I've suffered, my advice might not be productive.
You know what this is called? It's called self-referential altruism.
Interesting, man. But only you'll find these kind of words. No, self-referendum. Is it the Brexit?
Self-referential altruism is where self-referential altruism, basically, altruism is when you care about other people, right?
Yeah.
Self-referential altruism is you care about other people, or you give advice that would, let's say, for example, impact other people because you refer to your own experiences.
Mm.
Now, this is actually a very poor way to moralize because it's a very small sample size. You've got yourself, and that person, like
it's
you said,
subjective experience.
Yeah, that person might go through a completely different or disanalogous set of things. And what you're doing is you're projecting your kind of own emotional energy onto them.
Yeah.
It's a form of Freudian projection.
Yeah.
But let's put that to the side. Yeah, let's see this next bit, because this advice gets worse, to be honest.
That is because to feel to be accepted, to be wanted, they feel like if I show that I'm a mother, then that means I'm going to be less desirable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so important. This is who I am. This is how I am, and this is what I've got. And are you down? And if listen, ladies, if
okay,
the man asks you, listen for the red flags.
Red flags, yeah.
Can they live with their father? He's not accepted your kids. Are they going to be living with us full time? He's not accepted your kids. Listen out for these
things. Wait up. Living with the father is actually the hukm shara'i. It's actually the ruling.
Mm.
If a woman is divorced and she remarries, the majority of Islam, from what I understand, based on the hadith in Tirmidhi, by the way, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a woman came to him and says, how could I not get custody of the children when they were on my lap and they were suckling from my breast and whatever? And he said, you get custody of the children, but if you get married, then he gets the children. That's the ruling. So you get custody of the children, obviously doesn't mean that the man doesn't see them.
Yeah,
it just means that you're the primary custodian or guardian of the child now.
Yeah.
But if you get married, then the father now gets custody of the children. So if a man comes, how could that be a red flag if he just wants to do iqam of the hudud of Allah?
Okay.
Or the ahkam of Allah. He wants to uphold.
Mm, I think she's talking about something else here.
No, I don't think so. It's not red flag. She said, listen to the red flags, She said, if he says, can they go and live with their father, then he hasn't accepted your children. Now, if he says that you can go and live with your father, that might just well be because that's where they need to go.
Okay, can it be also that, for example, the father doesn't want them and the guy that she's getting to know is basically saying, I don't want them in my life, kind of like, I don't want them there. I think that's where she's coming from.
Even if
I don't think she's coming from a place where he says it's the right of that
fine,
hadith.
Fine,
you
fine.
Get it? Because otherwise, how could they say that's the red flag? Assuming the best. Like,
for the sake of argument. Should be fair. For the sake of argument. Yeah. But this, either way, it's not red flag.
Mm.
If the man doesn't want, if a man says, look, I really don't want to get involved with children. I've got my own children to raise. I don't see anything wrong with that. Likewise, if not, I don't see anything wrong.
No.
If a woman wants to get, if a woman wants to get married to a man who's got children, she says, look, I don't want to raise your children.
No, that's fine. But what do you do?
I don't see anything wrong with that. How is that reflect?
But what do you do with the kids?
What do you mean?
What does she do with the kids? Can you imagine you're speaking to a man and the man saying,
how old are the kids? How old are they?
Let's say they're 8 and 9.
Depends on the situation.
No,
he doesn't want to raise them. He doesn't, because here's the catch 22 for a lot of men. Yeah. You want to raise a child, but then when you get into their life, you're number two, because you are not the final decision maker. You will not be given the same privileges as you would be if you were the father.
Yeah.
And this goes on. Listen to what they continue saying.
Yeah.
Listen to what the Somali sister says. Yeah.
Okay.
You'll see more. You get a flavor of what they're talking about.
Children, right? Because that is a sign of whether he is ready to assume them into his fold or not.
And or absolute indifference.
Look.
You can state that they're there up front, but sometimes you get the case where they're acting like they don't exist. There's no interest whatsoever about their names, their ages, their, it's like they're not in their, the way they project the future, they're not taking them into account, like you said. And also in the position of the mom, your current home, you know, your home environment has a particular balance right now. It's stable, it's set, it has a culture. And you're going to bring an outsider into that culture, and you have to take into account whether they're going to be a good fit for the culture or not. Somebody who's going to come in and be uptight and throw off your balance and shush your kids and change your home dynamic.
And that can be applied to
So think of it this way, Ali. Yeah.
So
the guy, this is the conundrum that you're putting the man in. Yeah. He either comes in. He comes in and assumes the children. He says, you know, I have no problem raising the kids.
Okay.
He raises the kids, but part of raising children is disciplining them. You start shushing the kids.
No, that's nonsense. What she said there about you can't say shush is nonsense. Other than that,
that's the dynamic that...
Other than that,
is the problem people are facing.
No, I know, but that's nonsense. But what she's saying about a person coming in, it's you need to understand that it's their children. But a man who doesn't even, like she said, doesn't know their name, doesn't care about them, that is concerning to anyone. Even if I'm a father and I have a child and the woman said the same thing. But, I have to be real, because come on, bro, if you're not even acknowledging my kids and you want them out, it is red flags to me, bro. I have to be real. If a sister's coming and saying, how many kids do you have? I have 2 kids from another marriage. How many days do you keep them? 3 days. Bro, that's a red flag bounce, because you're disregarding my kids. You can come and say, look, for example, we can work, etc. But on the other hand,
if you start telling your, if a new wife comes and you've got kids from the other, and you start saying like, no, you've got to raise my children, as if it's a command.
That's what happens.
Men and women do this.
Men and women both do this.
You've got kids from another marriage.
Yes.
They've got another father, or they got another mother.
Yes.
Let's say, yeah.
Yes.
Why are they not taking? Why are they not assuming the responsibility of the parent? And why are you now putting that responsibility on someone else?
It's very simple. I don't think anyone can force anyone to come and say, look after my kids. The person that you marry, if they do it for their goodwill, they do it.
But when they come in,
I can't come and tell them you have to.
If they come in,
and they
want to assume that responsibility and whatever, and they start, discipline the child.
I'm so sorry. You can't. That's nonsense. With all due respect to the sister, to say you can't. What is this? What the hell is this? I've married you. I've accepted your kids, and I can't discipline that. What the hell are you talking about? I'll be honest. This is pathetic. Yeah. What is this? Am I a slave in the house?
Yeah. Exactly. You've made him
equal. That's disrespectful.
You've made him an equal of one
that's
of the
disrespectful.
Kids. You've made him another child.
Yeah.
You've made him another child.
Yeah. I'm not allowed to say.
So you've got your own dynamic. So this goes back to Qawwama, which they don't mention ever. Yeah. In the videos that I've seen, that you basically want the Qawwama, because if he's in the house and he can't shush the kids, what's happened to him? He's become an equal of one of the kids. Yeah. So if you shush the kids, what, you're going to discipline him? What are you going to do? Are you going to undermine him in front of the kids?
Mm-hmm.
And let's see how long such a marriage lasts. Your marriage ain't going to last, my friend. Honestly, because if you want to undermine and disrespect a man in front of your children, even though he wants to come in and contribute to their upbringing and their upkeep or their discipline, then what you're doing is you're basically you're self-sabotaging.
You are. Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Because at the end of the day, you're just proning yourself to being divorced regularly.
Right.
And I'm sorry if that sounds harsh. Because if you have a man who's coming to, willing to look after your kids, loving, etc., and you're coming and bossing him, you can't say shush to my kids. Don't you ever raise it. Look, you can be protective. But you've married this person. If you trust this person, you've brought into your house, to your life, Yeah, if he wants to discipline the kids, I'm not talking about you come home and he's flipping, choking, choking your child.
No, we're saying shush, bro.
Yeah?
Shush. So these are just some of the things that we've come across.
Yeah, it is a vast topic.
It's a vast topic.
It's an ocean.
There's a lot of things we can talk about. Yeah. The points, let's summarize and give constructive criticism, yeah?
Yeah.
So to summarize, look, number one, don't get involved with issues that have any implication of what is referred to as qada, which means Islamic rulings. Because these kind of things, they require an arbitrator. They require someone to come in and to see person one, person two side, person one side, and to make a decision holistically, especially when it comes to divorce.
Yeah.
Divorce, and I'm really sorry to say this, for people that want or considering it, man or woman, do not approach lay people like us, like them.
Yes.
Don't approach us for I'm thinking of divorce.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm thinking of a khula or fasakh.
No. Abu Khatija.
Number two, This, the second thing I say is you have to start, if you want Islamic solutions for Muslim people and you've got a demographic which is uniquely, let's say, female, right?
Yeah.
Then you have to start introducing the Quran and Sunnah more regularly.
Yeah.
And you have to emphasize and don't shy away from emphasizing the key components of the religion, especially with intergender dynamics and stuff. So, for example, Qawama, Ta'a, the kind of emphasis that is put by the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on these concepts would to us indicate that that kind of emphasis should be put by man or woman who wants to speak about these issues to Muslim people, and especially on pastoral levels. Number three, so we said number one, qada, number two, Quran and Sunnah, and number three, I would say this, bro. I would actually say it would benefit you guys if you had one person of knowledge.
Yes.
A female, yeah?
Yes.
Doesn't have to be a male at all. You get a female, a sheikha, a ustadha, a talibatul ilm, to look over your stuff, and not only that, but to sit with you guys so you can actually consult her.
Yeah.
So you can get, it's because these are pastoral issues. In many ways, they're actually even more complicated than dawah issues.
Yeah.
They're more complicated. So you need a fiqh specialist on hand. And because some of the blunders that are coming out would suggest that you don't have that kind of thing. And if you had someone there with you, they can do istidlal, they can do istishhad, meaning they would be bringing out Quran, ayah, sunnah, hadith, and that's what this thing is missing.
Yeah.
Apart from that, you guys are doing good work, of course, hopefully you didn't take offense to this. We need to check each other and hold each other to account.
Yeah.
Some of the advice that was given has to be productive, and it also has to be realistic in it. And we hope, because we have the same objective, we're on the same team. We are on the same team.
Yeah, yeah.
And the objective is to get people in stable families, you know, and get people away from zina. So my question to you, Ali Dawah, is that when is your marriage fraudulent documentary coming out?
I mean, let me tell you something. Yes,
it's not coming out, is it?
It is coming out. And when it is come out, when it does come out, it would be groundbreaking, yani box office smashing. Yani it's going to cause earthquakes in the Ummah. Yani I'm speculating maybe here 10.7 on the Richter scale.
Yeah,
it's going to cause, and the reason why, because this is a big.
It goes up to 9, bro.
No, this has gone above that, brother. Yeah, this has caused tsunamis in the regions. Yes, people drown. You know, people drown. People need life jackets. The point is, bro. It is. I'll be honest. It is a big topic, man, and that is what I aim to do when I release it. Is to delve.
Delve
into the topic, because it is such a big ocean, yeah, and there's so many problems. And the reason why I was a bit passionate and aggressive in the video, I want to give a disclaimer, it's not towards the sisters, it's because it's sad to see,
because you're misogynist, bro.
It's, you know what's really sad to see, bro, is because I hear left, right, center, hello, yeah, bro, I'm getting a divorce, nice. Bro, it's a pandemic. So the thing is, this, when we have that issue at hand as the ummah, bro, it's dangerous. We don't want people to get divorced, Aki, because divorce marriages mean broken families, broken kids. The future ummah is ruined. So that's why we need to make sure we're very careful with our words. And when we utter words like divorce so easily, it's not that easy, you know. So yeah, as we're careful, you know, we're doing takfir, etc., tabdi, well, if esbab, it's happy days. We need to be careful with the word divorce as well.
Especially relating to women, because women doing going to ask a man for divorce is not the same as men going to ask a woman for divorce.
Yeah, exactly.
A man can do talaq to a woman without a consultation. Yes. Or a woman doing fesh khula is a completely different kettle of fish altogether. Well, of course, and hadith has come that if a woman asks for divorce for no reason, then she is to be given such and such a punishment. She will not be, you know, the fragrance of Jannah, she will not smell, and so on.
Yeah,
it's not the same. It's
but
not
also,
the same.
Also, the talaq, like for example, Qurtubi mentions that the reason talaq was stipulated to three is because the pagan Arabs used to abuse it. They used to divorce their wives, and their wives wanted to move on, and they would take them back, and they would do this over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Allah legislated to three. So let's not get the talaq or talaq thing of I'm in power, I'm. Yes, there is that element, but it's also that if you abuse it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the, that's the reason Allah legislates that your wife will have to go and have intimacy, get married with another man. That's the consequence.
It won't be a wife anymore, will it?
But we won't be a wife anymore, but the point is this, bro. If it's your wife and you you didn't want to give that divorce and you gave it because you have your stupidity, that comes at a cost. So let's not make it seem like the talaq thing that we have is something that we carry and it's, I'll use however I like. No, it can fire back.
You hear that, Zisham, brother?
It can backfire on us. But anyways, it's a deep topic. Inshallah, in the coming times, in February when the documentary is out, we're going to begin to have interest. I mean, till next time.
Habibi, I don't know why you're putting your crusty hand out to me, the champ.